if it was illegal to say stupid things into a microphone.
Why must you be so stupid?
These guys would be doing life without parole.
Hey, everybody, we're back from prison.
Why do we keep encouraging this kind of behavior?
It's the Breaking the Ice podcast with Josh Dolan.
You know, we could, like, go to jail for this.
Along with Mike Shue and Isaiah Moscahana Bonsa Mana Blitz Boskowitz.
Whatever the hell his name is.
Oh.
Hello.
Oh, there we go.
Oh, my God.
Hello.
There was a button pushed on the board that I didn't...
Morons. I'm dealing with morons.
I mean, yeah, it didn't take long to figure that out, huh?
How are you, man?
Good. How are you?
Good to see you.
Oh, good. Is it?
That's way too loud.
Anyway, Greg, this is my co-host, Corinne.
Hey, Corinne.
Co-host. I just got out of the shower and I ate a burger and I'm here. Hi.
We can edit this out.
How is that?
I mean, what can you do?
All right, okay. That's good.
Sorry. I'll act like a mom now. Hi, how are you today? How are the kids?
Kids are good.
Just graduated college, right?
Wait, are we recording now?
Oh yeah, there's no intro.
Okay, good. My son just graduated from DePaul University. And the whole family went to Chicago for 3 days and we had a blast. And I mean, Chicago is a funny town. It's like everybody is either super fit or super fat.
Really?
Nobody's in between.
Oh. Chicago, I just think of crime.
Crime?
Our Uber driver picked us up and he was like shaking. And I'm like, are you all right? And he's like, yeah, I just had a gun pulled on me. Three guys. And I had to get him out. I had to get him out of my car and they wouldn't get out and they pulled a gun. And I think he might have had a gun also, which frightened us. And he called the cops. It took them 45 minutes to get there. And they just basically filed a report. And that was it.
Sorry, I just turned.
So did that kind of feel like you were back at like Nick's Comedy Stop or something?
Exactly. Yeah, except the cops didn't end up beating the shit out of the guy that reported the crime in the first place.
Wait, so I don't go to college. I never went to college. So like, I don't know universities. Is this like a really good university? Like, what did he go for? Your son?
Just what you guys are doing. Communications. He had a radio show at his college for like 2 years. Which is weird because this is what my father did for a living. He was a DJ.
Oh, really?
And then I've been doing it for 15 years and now my son is doing it.
Wow. Stepping in.
So what you're saying is he didn't need a college degree to do this.
No, he did not. No. But it's okay. He needed the college experience, you know? I mean, yeah. Like my brother wanted to go to Syracuse for communications and I was like, "Well, do you want to get into like a record rep position? Do you want to work with a label? Like that makes more sense to me." But to get into radio, I was like, "You don't need it." But I don't know.
Especially now since.
Maybe I did need it because I'm out of radio now.
How long were you in radio?
10 years.
And what station was it?
It's gone now, but it was called 103.3 Amp Radio. They had them like everywhere in New York, Amp Radio in LA, Boston. We competed with Kiss 108. So, yeah.
How's K-Rock doing in Boston?
K-Rock? That's what took over Amp Radio, I thought. No, AAF.
That took over AAF. That's K-Love.
Oh.
K-Love is the reason I don't have a job. Well, I do.
Well, start liking Jesus and maybe you will.
have they embraced the Lord Jesus Christ?
Oh.
Yeah. I mean, they just got rid of WAF. You remember WAF, right?
Of course.
Yeah.
107.1.
3.
Okay.
Almost.
So close. So wait, do you have any other kids?
I do. My daughter is about to turn 20 and we're all going to Ireland this summer and Spain. And then they're going to go earlier, like 2 weeks earlier, and they're going to travel with their two cousins, one of whom just graduated college as well. And so they're going to be over there for like a month.
That's incredible. I want to get married in Ireland.
You want to get married in Ireland?
Yeah.
2 weeks ago, she was saying she never wants to get married.
You know, what can you do?
I don't believe in marriage.
He mentioned Ireland. Now that's it.
Okay.
I'm going for
That's how decisions are made, I guess.
I think you need to believe in Jesus Christ and get married.
Love that. Very Irish.
Yeah, right.
I just found out that you weren't from Boston. That shook
yeah.
me.
I know. Everybody thinks I'm from there because I went to college in Boston at Harvard. And
really?
No, Boston University. But
I did my research.
And then
it was classmates with Obama.
And I started doing stand up while I was in school. And then when I graduated, I was actually, believe it or not, making a living at stand up. So I stayed in Boston for like 3 years, and then I moved to New York, and I started coming back and forth. Let me turn off my ringer. So I would go back and forth. Like I would do weekends in Boston, make some money. And then I go down to New York and try to break into the clubs. And then I went to acting school down there. And boy, that acting school has really paid off for me.
Oh, why is that?
I've had upwards of 4 roles in the last 25 years out here.
I mean, I think acting is great, though, for comedy, because you can learn, you can be quicker on your feet with improv and different things, too. I don't know. I want to do an improv.
Yeah, but in
class.
Acting, you're doing someone else's material.
No, I get it. But I did acting a long time ago. Was in nothing. My sister was in everything, and she was super pretty, and that's why. I had braces and big curly hair, and nobody wanted to talk to me. But anyways, I thought it was a great experience, and I think
So your sister was more attractive than you were?
Oh, yeah, wicked. Big time.
Did she get a lot of guy? Was it ever like a guy you liked and then she got him?
Well, the ironic part is she's a total lesbian and she.
Nice.
Yeah. So, but there was a guy that she was best friends with when she was a freshman and I was a senior, and they wanted to be together, and I was very attracted to him. So she was upset because I slept with him.
Oh.
Yeah, but it doesn't matter because she's gay now, so who cares?
Did she ever have a boyfriend?
No, she never had a boyfriend.
Oh, she's a virgin.
Yes, it was shocked to the world.
They call that a golden Oreo, right?
Well, she's not a virgin anymore. She must have used something. Okay,
damn.
I'm very open. I'm so sorry.
How did your parents deal with her coming out?
Well, I'm Irish Catholic, so it was, honestly, it was bad. My mom was fine with it. I was like, guys, I've been eating vagina forever. So like, I don't know why this is an issue because I'm bisexual.
You said that? Oh, yeah. You're bi.
Yeah. So like, I don't care. Like I'm very open. I tell my parents everything. Like I don't I shouldn't have said her name, but she is very conservative, which is funny too, that she's a lesbian. She was very godly going to church for a while. The devil was like, nope, not today. You a lesbian. But anyways, so long story short, I talk too much. What was I saying?
Your sister's a lesbian.
My dad was really upset. My dad was like, I don't believe in that. The Bible's this, the Bible's that. And I was like, well, listen, the Bible said nothing about rum and coke and everything about wine. So you're drunk. Look at yourself first and then come back to me.
Yeah, that's true. I wonder how many more people would go to church if they gave rum and coke instead of wine in that chalice.
Probably all the people that go to AA.
Yeah, right, right.
Oh, speaking of AA, you haven't drank in how many years?
33.
I'm at 6.5 months right now.
Oh, good for you, man. That's awesome.
Thank you. And I mean, that might tie into the divorce thing.
Was that involved? Yeah, I'm sure.
There was a lot of things involved, but
till death do us part.
Yeah, that's what I thought.
Yeah.
It was like, get sober now, I'm done with you.
Yeah, it was after I fixed everything. I had a vacation in a mental hospital in Derry, New Hampshire, so that was fun.
Wow.
I'm very sorry. I have a 3-year-old and a 7-year-old that's upstairs right now, so if you hear anything, that's why.
Unattended.
So you had them with the half of you that's not a lesbian, I guess.
Oh, my God.
It's very true.
Yeah, no, it came out the right hole. That is disgusting, Corinne. I can't, like, this is bad because we want to post this, obviously, because we're going to. But like, we have to cut out everything I'm saying because I'm also a real estate agent and I can't be talking like this.
Oh, okay. Fair enough.
No, he's not going to buy a house from me.
Has this ever happened to you? I was coming back from Venice Beach one day and I'm on my bike and I start to feel a pressure in my lower intestines. And I realized I ain't making it home. I'm sweaty. I had a nice coffee at the tennis courts. And I'm like, and all of a sudden I see open house in front of this mansion. And so I locked up my bike. I went in, I signed in, I took a chocolate chip cookie, headed to the second floor. And I went in and I annihilated the bathroom on the second floor. I'm talking like a full evacuation where you flush and it looks like there was a car chase inside of there. And then I just signed out and she goes, did you like the house? And I go, I love this house.
The leg room is amazing.
Has that ever happened to you when you're going?
It's like not every single house, but majority of single, not single houses. Oh my God.
You're fine.
Majority of open houses. Yeah. No, either they've gone or an agent has gone. There's so many times where we're like living out of our car and we never get a second to eat or go to the bathroom. So we'll take our client to an open house and then use the bathroom. But also open houses are wicked busy now because there's like nothing on the market. So it's really hard now to go to the bathroom at an open house.
Yeah. A line.
There's like a line out the door.
Right.
And I mean, maybe during COVID times when it was like a line and then one person at a time went, but then that person would hold up everybody else. And it was just,
it's just a line of people that need to shit and that are going to waive their home inspection.
Right. And what about people, having a little nookie in one of the bedrooms. Does that ever happen?
Have you ever done that?
No, I haven't. And that's I haven't a category. Seen anything. I have walked in on someone that was in a robe. Like the son didn't know that the mom and dad, or like he was a druggie. I don't know what he was doing. God bless his soul. I don't know where he's at now, but he was in the basement in a robe. And I think he was on something and everybody was walking around and he's just like, yeah, don't buy this house, dude. It's like there's water everywhere. I'm living down here. And he's like naked in a robe. And it was not.
Oh, my God. Wow.
It was great, though, because the foundation was falling apart. He was falling apart.
Yeah.
Like someone please pass me alcohol, which now they don't because I'm sober, too. Woo!
Yeah. She's right. Still drinking, too. So we're just a bunch of.
Well, I feel like a lot of anyone that's like in radio, TV or in real estate and like just has freedom to do whatever they want. A lot of them are sober now. Because they've just done it all and they're just done.
A lot of comedians are sober now.
Like, a lot of comics. Yeah. Lenny's sober and Sweeney.
Ken Rogerson, Tony V.
Rogerson, Tony V. Not Gav. Gav's hanging in there.
Whenever somebody forgets Don Gavin's name, they're the guy that still drinks. Who? I'm like, Don Gavin.
Yeah. The White Russians. Yeah. That guy puts down White Russians. He puts down more White Russians than Zelensky.
That man is an actor himself.
Is he?
Yeah. No, he was actually an actor. Did you know that?
Yeah.
He was on the biggest show in Ukraine.
Yeah. And then he's like, well, I guess Trump was too. So what's the difference?
That's true.
I didn't think of that.
Ronald Reagan?
Oh, I know nothing about Ronald Reagan.
Yeah, Ronald Reagan. Of course.
But what was I going to say, though? I was going to ask you a question about you doing comedy when your kids were little. How did you do that? Like, did you have to like, did you say like, hey guys, I'll be back in like a couple days or something and just come back every time? Or like, did they travel with you? Like, what did you do with your wife? Or?
No, it's, you know, it's been a long journey with having kids and being on the road, but you know, I've kind of limited it to, I usually go away on a Thursday and then I fly back on the first flight Sunday morning. So I'm always around for half the weekend. And I go away, like every other weekend. And then I've taken a lot of writing jobs over the last 20 years. So there's been periods of time where I'm off the road for months at a time.
Right.
And otherwise, they just kind of got used to it. It was like, I think kids are fine as long as things are consistent. And daddy was consistently gone for brief periods of time. And so they never really... My wife was a stay-at-home mom. She never worked.
That's awesome. She was
around all the time. We had a nanny that came in like 2 or 3 days a week to give my wife some time off. And we lived in a neighborhood where all the neighbors were super involved with each other's kids in Venice.
Oh, that's nice.
So it was, I think they had a pretty good childhood. They don't complain.
That's amazing.
Yeah.
I wouldn't have complained at all.
But yeah, because we're... I've been doing stand-up for, I don't know how long now, 12, 13 years. Obviously not that well because I'm
You were on the Ellen show.
No, but
you were on the Ellen show?
No.
No, you were.
You were.
I don't want to bring that up, but that's old news.
I have been on the Ellen set, though, if that counts.
No, it doesn't.
There's a cat there, or was. I don't know.
Do anything.
There was a cat on the soundstage. What the hell was I going to ask?
Sorry, I always interrupt you.
You do.
I have severe ADD, so I'm just all over the place. My bad. You were talking about how you've been in comedy for so long.
Oh, yeah, and I have a two-year-old daughter, and like you said, it's good to be consistent, but I haven't been able to find how to be consistent with that kind of stuff. Well, I guess part of it was my wife, but
my kids are calling. I say get a schedule, an organizer, a bullet journal, you know, you Siri.
Okay, go take care of your kids.
Wow. Well, you know, it's hard. When your kid's 2 years old, it's tough because they really need you. And your wife obviously needs a lot of support.
Yeah.
And, you know, I think, like, I remember, like, going away when my son was little. And I can just picture him going to bed and my wife's tucking him in and him being like, Mommy, where's Daddy? And she's like, Daddy's at the Green Bay Chuckle Hut following his dream. But doesn't he know it's not working out? Go to sleep, sweetheart. Go to sleep. But don't dream. We got enough goddamn dreamers in this family.
It sounds like my wife. Oh, man. Yeah. Got enough dream. Don't dream about Johnny Carson.
Not everybody should follow their dream. You know, my son's the person that gave the speech, what do you call it? The commencement speech at his graduation was all about follow your dream. And then I remember like somebody recently gave a commencement speech and they said, you know what? Don't follow your dream. Follow what you're good at. Everybody's got to stop putting pie in the sky ideas, moving to LA, getting headshots and taking acting class. I can tell you firsthand that doesn't work out.
No.
Find the thing that you've been good at, that you enjoy, and put everything into that, and that will lead you somewhere. Don't you think that's better advice?
That is amazing advice, actually, because I always think like, well, I'm chasing my dream. This wasn't my dream was to play in the NHL. And, you know, you got to work hard and, you know, have talent and stuff. So that didn't work out. But like doing comedy and radio, I never thought I would do that because I had such bad social anxiety. Like I wouldn't even get up in front of the class and present my project. I'd be like, I'd rather fail. But
right.
I started doing it for some reason. And other people told me, I still don't think I'm good at it, but I keep doing it because other people say I'm good at stand up. But
Well, I would say a majority of stand up comedians have social anxiety. And I think it's like one of those things where you challenge yourself. Sometimes in life, we pick the thing that challenges what we feel like we lack. And so it's kind of powerful that you did that. I think that's great, you know, and just make sure you're doing things that help you manage the anxiety, you know, whether it's, you know, if you're a jock, then you know more than anybody. You need to be hitting some heavy cardio on a regular basis to stay calm.
Yeah. And there's just like,
what
is your phone ringing?
Oh, I don't know.
It's, but yeah, the whole radio and that, I feel like that's kind of why my wife divorced me was because of doing comedy and radio. Like I'm making a living at it. Like I can pay my bills with it, but her parents are very cookie cutter and they really got to her and like they hated the fact I didn't have a college degree. They hated the fact that I was on WAAF and they're like, why don't you do like something honorable, like work at Hannaford's? And I'm like,
right.
But well, I mean,
you know, it's weird now because like so many jobs that used to exist, good union jobs and all that stuff, are just gone. And the new jobs that are coming along didn't exist before, you know, social media marketing.
Yeah.
Store like that didn't used to be a job. Doing a podcast didn't used to be a job, but these are the jobs of the future.
And it made me feel kind of like gross once my daughter was born, because I'm like, what is she gonna like at school? People are gonna be like, dad's a cop, my dad's a fireman, my dad's an accountant, my dad's swipe up for tickets.
Yeah, right. Yeah, but I think it was weird for my kids, but kids don't really talk about what their parents do that much. It's only now that they're old enough to actually have an interest in stand-up comedy, and their friends all have an interest in stand-up comedy because it's such a big deal for kids now online.
Yeah.
And my kids come out to the clubs and see me perform, and they love coming out and seeing Theo Vaughn or the Segura or whoever's in town. And so now they think it's really cool that I'm a comedian.
Yeah.
Yeah.
The comedy scene around here wasn't that great when I first started, but it's starting to kind of come back up. Like, we're in Worcester, well, Auburn, but it's basically Worcester.
You can just say Worcester.
Okay,
yeah.
We're in Worcester. And I know, like, the Aku was here, right?
Where you,
Hogan and Burr, and I think it's 99 now. But it's crazy to, like, drive by that and be like, that's where all the...
that was a club. I remember me and Burr were there one night, and I had a video camera. And we just sat there. There was a spot down the hallway where people came in and they bought their tickets, where we were videotaping them as they walked towards us and then got their tickets. And me and Burr just ripped people apart on the video, one after the other, for like a half an hour. I still have that tape. And I was there one night, and I just remember across the street from the Aku Aku was, which if people don't know, it's like a Polynesian restaurant. And it had a back room that was, it was like a banquet room that they were never using. And so they opened it up to comedy two or three nights a week.
Was it Dick Doherty?
It was Dick Doherty. And you'd drive out there and there would be 250 people paying $20 a head to get in. So you do the math on that. What is that? $5,000?
Sure.
No, $10,000. So they're paying, they took in $10,000, the headliner got $200. The feature act got $100 and the MC got $50. And all the rest went into Dick's pocket. So I get there and there's a place across. Did I do the math right? What's 250 times 20?
Do we have a calculator?
Oh.
No, it was 5,000. 5,000 a show. 5,000 a show. And he was giving away $350 in fees. So, and he was keeping the whole door because the restaurant got the booze and the food and he got all the tickets.
Wow.
And so I get on stage one night, and before the show, I went across the street. There's a place called Cheapies Donuts, which it's just, I still think about that, the marketing that you're a donut shop. Like, I don't think that the price is the reason why somebody's going to come into your donut shop. Like, if it's because they're cheap, is that really? And so I buy a dozen donuts because the late show Friday is a nightmare. So I'm on stage and a woman in the front row falls asleep. And so as a joke, I take a chocolate donut out and I put it on her knee and everybody laughs and she's sleeping. And then after about 10 minutes, she wakes up, she sees the donut. And then the girl sitting next to her tells her I put it on her knee. So she stands up, she walks on stage and hits me in the dick with the chocolate donut, chocolate frosted. So now I got chocolate all over my crotch, and the crowd is dying of laughter and the bouncers are trying to throw her out. And I'm saying, no, let her stay. And then I do, my next joke was about a deadbeat Father's Day card that I wrote. For deadbeat fathers.
I relate to this one.
So I do it. And then this guy stands up and he goes, hey, I'm a deadbeat dad and I don't appreciate that joke. And then the guy sitting behind him go, hey, sit down, asshole. Now, two tables of guys, and you know, Worcester guys, they've still got on their high school varsity jackets.
Yes,
and the hats turned on backwards.
Yes.
And they converge and they have this brawl that goes on.
Oh my God, I'm so dead.
Like, people are throwing those wooden bowls at each other, chairs, and there was a xylophone door. And I just remember, as a pack, they rolled into the xylophone door and collapsed it. They called 911, and then it literally, the fight went on so long that the cops arrived, and the fight was still happening. And the whole time, I'm on stage calling it like I'm Howard Cosell. I'm like, he hit him on the left. Oh, he's got a bowl. And so I announced the fight, and they finally calm everybody down. And I did like 10 more minutes, and I was like, good night, Worcester. You tonight you won.
Well, it's a lot classier now.
Yeah, it's a lot like downtown Boston now. But that,
Worcester
that
was, is?
Don't say that. It's definitely not compared to it's just not lower.
I was in Worcester 4 years ago because my son looked at Clark University. Worcester is
Clark.
Not like downtown Boston.
No, it's not.
It's like it's downtown Worcester.
Well, Clark area is nasty. If you know you don't go near Clark, you're gonna go towards like Shrewsbury Street, or you're gonna go to Water Street, or you're gonna go to I don't know. You're just gonna. I don't know.
I'm just saying, there's a lot more gluten-free options in Worcester.
Oh, yeah. So okay.
Just don't turn into Providence, Rhode Island, please. I beg.
But that does make more sense. Why Joe Rogan got into the line of work that he got in? If I mean, it seems like there was always a fight at one of your shows, and
yeah,
you're announcing it. I mean, what did Joe Rogan become? Good at fighting and announcing fights.
Right. Exactly.
Cockroaches.
There was a lot of fights, and there was a lot of heckling, like good old-fashioned you suck heckling. Not like the heckling today where, you know, people have seen too many videos of comics interacting with the crowd and now they think it's part of the show, so they kind of try to chime in. No, this was like, get off the fucking stage, kid. You're not funny. And
Oh my gosh, could you imagine that now?
Like, made me good, made me tough.
Everyone's soft now.
Yeah, they're all soft.
I think that's why comedy's came up so much now recently, obviously because of social media, but because like people need to laugh because everyone's so serious all the time.
Yeah. Right.
Yeah. So do you have any, what? What's so funny?
You're just adorable. Go ahead, continue.
I was trying to, oh my God. Now I forget. What was I going to say?
Well, I don't know. What are you going to say?
It was about
comedy. Do you guys need cue cards for the interview?
Oh, I think so.
I don't need cue cards. It's
this is like the ADD podcast.
Thank you. Yeah. Not enough Adderall.
There's a shortage, okay? Don't talk shit, okay? These poor guys. Do any of your kids take Adderall?
We all take Ritalin. We love Ritalin. We have like a bowl on our dining room table. Oh. Just grab some.
Okay, so well now Ritalin and Concerta and Vyvanse, those are all like Adderall obviously, and those are now becoming a problem, and those are shorted because everyone on Adderall is trying to go to that. It's been we literally call so many pharmacies, we feel like drug addicts. Like we're like, where is our Adderall?
We are.
We're
calling the legal drug dealers.
No, it's just it's really bad. Anyways, that's where I was going with my ADD. What do you have to say?
So Greg, you're going to be at Laugh Boston this weekend.
Yes, the 16th and 17th, is it? 12th?
Yes.
16th and 17th. Yes. And it's so great to come back to the town where I learned how to do this, to see the crowds. Yeah, they've gotten calmer, but there's still like a sense that when you get on stage, the audience hasn't fully accepted that you're the funniest one in the room. And you have to kind of prove it in the first 10 minutes or you may lose them entirely. And so so it's going to be fun. And then I got a lot of friends from Boston because, you know, I've just was there so long. And so I got a ton of people coming to the shows. So I'll be doing new stuff. I just taped a new special last month. So I'm going to be doing all different stuff than that.
Where's that special going to be? Do you know yet?
It's going to come out on Moment House as like a pay-per-view, and then it'll just be on YouTube. So everybody can see it on YouTube by the summer.
That's the way to do it now is YouTube.
Yeah,
I just want people to see it. I don't give a shit about making a lot of money off of it. I mean, I go to the Aku Aku in Worcester for the cash. For the specials, I just put it out there.
Well, no, I was thinking of like, I remember, so I did comedy once in my life. I did stand up once and it was the best experience of my life. And I put it on YouTube, right? And everyone was like, don't do that. Now you can never use those bits ever again because everyone already knows them. Meanwhile, like maybe like 200 people actually watched it on YouTube. So
yeah.
Who cared? But now that's the thing is social media, like anybody that was on TikTok that was kind of funny is now a comedian. some of them are actually really good. Like Trevor Wallace is really good. There's like a couple of people like from TikTok and Instagram and stuff.
Yeah.
But it gives me hope that maybe I can get back on stage. Can I come on with you at Laugh Boston?
No.
We need to put that in the intro. Can we?
Absolutely not.
No.
No. I mean, if you got your hands on some Adderall, I would consider it. But unmedicated, you can't string two thoughts together. I'm afraid you'd be in between jokes and you would just get lost.
Do you see why our radio stations went off the air?
My show was called the Hot Mess Express on purpose. So, I mean, what can you do?
Yeah. Well, mine was, I was just pretending to know things about the music that I was playing when I knew nothing. I was like, terrible. Oh, the Black Crowes play that? I had no idea.
Yeah.
You can't say that. And you got your podcast, Fitzdog Radio.
Fitzdog Radio. We just hit 1,000 episodes. And then Sunday Papers, which is the one I do with Mike Gibbons. We cover all the news of the week, comes out on Sundays. And then we have Childish, which is me and Allison Rosen talking about raising kids. That comes out on Wednesdays. So it's good. Keeps me busy.
Got a lot of podcasts going, and we can't even get through one episode without problems. So.
Hey, this is not my show. I just came for the ride.
No.
Oh, shit. She's bailing on you.
Oh no, I love you. You're
no,
great.
My wife bailed on me. That's why we're in her basement right now, and I put up a sheet to cover the wood paneling so it doesn't look like a VFW right now.
What's
so.
Wrong with that? I like the wood paneling.
I just didn't want the Wayne's World vibe.
Right? All right, well, you're
yeah. Now it looks good, and you got your fancy microphones on the stands.
Yeah, it's
these are more expensive than the ones at the radio station.
Really? How much did they cost?
They're like what, $600?
These
Damn.
Ones?
Damn.
The ones at the radio station were like a grand. That's yeah. what mine was. No, I'm just fucking with you.
I don't know. That was up to the engineers.
or the, okay.
And you just had Stephen Wright on your podcast, right?
Yeah. That, I mean, he's been on a couple times before. But this one was pretty special because he has a new book that I read that was really amazing called Harold. And it's a very inventive, interesting, creative book. And so we got deep into talking about some philosophical ideas, and it was also very funny. So I just love Stephen Wright. He's one of the best.
Wait, so have you ever tried psychedelics?
Yeah.
So I want to try mushrooms really bad. What are your thoughts? Tell me about it.
Yeah, I mean, if you can do it, they say set and setting. There's a guy named Michael Pollan who wrote a book about taking hallucinogenics, and he said set and setting. So make sure your mindset is good. Take a hike first, maybe meditate, have a decent meal, and then setting is like be in nature if possible, and you know, experience it with people that make you feel good, and then you'll have a good trip.
Anything crazy ever happened to you?
I used to go to a lot of dead shows on mescaline and mushrooms, and that was always an experience. I never had a bad trip. Everything always went well.
Yeah, my first trip on mushrooms was on the highway, and I didn't
know. Jesus Christ.
What?
That's terrible.
While you were driving?
Yeah, I got them from, I didn't know what they did, and my sister was like, this is microdose. You'll probably not even feel it. And then I had to go in to work to do radio, and I was on the highway headed up to Manchester, New Hampshire, and all of a sudden I was just like, the lights on the cars are speaking to me. And I was like, this isn't good.
Yeah, you don't want to cross senses. One sense shouldn't be interacting with another one. Yeah.
Oh God, yeah.
I kind of felt
like Doc Ellis from the Pittsburgh Pirates, 1971. He threw a perfect game on acid.
Really?
Yeah.
That's one that scares me.
There's a great video. Look it up. Go on YouTube, and somebody animated him telling the story.
Wow.
On acid.
Doc Ellis. Yeah, perfect game on acid.
Have you ever tried ayahuasca?
No, but we're going to do it this spring, me and my friend Tom.
I want to hear all about it. Please talk about it.
Yeah, we got to do it. I need to shrink the ego down and realize where everything really lies in my life. Going through a transition from raising kids to I don't know what. I don't know what's next.
So where are you doing it? Can you tell us?
Yeah, out at Joshua Tree in the desert.
So ooh. Where's that? Is that in America?
It's in the desert.
I know
it's
that.
It's in the desert. It's like east of Los Angeles, about an hour and a half.
Yeah, because you can only do it, I believe, in California. I think that's the only place, or maybe Oregon,
well,
you too.
Can do it,
yeah,
work.
I think Oregon as well. Oh, yeah.
Like, I wouldn't mess around with ayahuasca. That's one of those, or like peyote. Like, those are the things that I would make sure that I'm in a correct setting with the correct person that knows what they're doing.
Yeah.
Not just for fun, like mushrooms.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
Yeah. But maybe we should move to California.
I know. Do it. Well, listen, I got to jump, you guys. I got a 145 podcast of my own.
Oh, yes. The actual podcast.
No, this is great. I love hanging out with you guys.
This was fun.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Earth, and I like comedians better than everybody else.
Yeah, we are better.
A little mental.
Yeah.
Can we go this weekend to see him? Or is it sold out?
Is it?
I have no idea.
He has no idea.
I like to be surprised when I walk in.
Is it going to be full or empty?
Let's go on mushrooms. Anyways.
No, let's not go on mushrooms. But yeah, we'll go.
Want to go?
Absolutely.
Well, he needs to go, so say goodbye.
Okay.
I'm so bad.
Stop talking. All right. All right, Greg, thank you so much for coming back on.
Yeah.
Laugh Boston this weekend, 16th and 17th, and we'll talk to you again soon.
All right. Thanks so much.
All right. Thanks, Greg.
Go
Bye.
Sox.
Thank you.
Bye.
This is Brad Marchand, and you're listening to Breaking the Ice with Josh Dolan. I don't think he would ever let a pizza get out the door before he buried the whole thing, so he likes to eat that kid.